Now would be a very good time to call. What's going on? Welcome to the program. Program is the Jim Rome Show, starring me, Jim Rome. I'm your host, Jim Rome. Live in Southern California. Good to be with you. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, nice to see the phone lines jamming up. About that little experiment that I tried to pull yesterday in the last segment of the program, I said if any of you call right now and any of you get racked, you can have a golden ticket. And if you get that golden ticket, it gets you in on the day of. Like, you don't need to get on a watch list. You don't need a resume. You don't need a track record. One good call gets you racked and gets you in and gets you a shot at $5,000. Great idea. Didn't work, but it was a great idea. I may resurrect that. I might bring that back at some point. In the meantime, I've got one phone line open. 1-800-636-8686. We've already heard from the head coach of the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning, John Cooper. He was great. Jonathan Jones from CBS was great. This hour is open. PJ Fleck will be great. That's coming up next hour. All right, let me change up. Different topic for you. No football today. No problem. Because here comes game four of the NBA Finals. Day two of the divisional series in the MLB postseason. Day two of the divisional series just got a hell of a lot more interesting, right? And a hell of a lot more intense for the budget teams of the American League, who each dropped their respective openers yesterday. Because just like that, you've got the A's and the Rays, and they're in an early hole looking up at two of the biggest villains in the game. Why don't we start in L.A.? Yeah, it's weird, right? But let's start here in L.A., where the Astros and the A's got underway at Dodger Stadium. Now, you want to talk weird. You want to talk surreal. Just drop two non-LA teams in Dodger Stadium for a playoff game and then make one of those teams, the Astros, who cheated against the Dodgers, but played yesterday's game at their yard in front of a bunch of cardboard Dodger fans in the midst of a pandemic. Only in 2020. And the only thing more wild than the setting was the Dodgers telling the Astros before that series they could not use their clubhouse. That's how much they hate the Astros. And as far as the game itself, against the A's, it was all Oakland early on. So the rest of baseball was loving that. 3-0 by the third. 5-3 at the end of five. But then the sixth inning happened. And as we all know the old saying, the one thing you do not want to do is give a good team extra outs. Well, the A's gave the Astros four outs. Marcus Semien booted a routine ground ball to keep that inning alive. And then this all happened.
He'll hit this one down the line to third, into the left field corner. Out from second base comes Reddick. Maldonado will stop at third. It's an RBI double for Springer. That's to left field, and it's in for a base hit. Maldonado will score. Trying to score is Springer. He will, and the Astros take the lead. On the ground right side and by the dive of Estella. Altuve will be waved around. He will score, and a 7-5 lead now for the Astros. All of this coming with two outs, and Michael Brantley drives in the most recent Astros run.
Uh-oh. Four unearned runs. And a 7-5 lead for H-Town when it was all said and done in the sixth. That's all the Astros would need. Despite getting a second moonshot from you-know-who, Carlos Correa.
And here's a fly ball to center field. See if this stays in the yard. Laureano going back at the wall. That's gone as Correa's gone deep again. Homered in the fourth. He hits a solo shot in the seventh. And it's 8-5. Astros on top.
Wow, this dude. I mean, going yard twice in a playoff game is always going to be huge. But doing it as Carlos Correa is the ultimate bleep you to the world right now. Remember last week after the Astros beat the Twins and CeCe asked all the haters what they had to say then? Yeah, those comments went over real well. About as well as, I don't know, gas station sushi. Especially when the other CeCe, CeCe Sabathia, heard those comments and then responded with this.
They cheated and then they're mad at us. Get the out of here. And then you finish under 500 this year. Like, shut the up. The kid's a clown, man. I'm sorry. I'm so conflicted because I'm so close to Dusty. That's my guy. But man, them dudes, man. Y'all beat a team that's lost 18 straight f***ing playoff games.
Hey, man, I got to be straight. Part of that might have been where he was and he might have been comfortable. I have never heard CeCe get loose like that. To recap, quote, get the F out of here. Quote, kid's a clown. Quote, you get no credit for beating the Twins. He verbally buried Correa for the entire internet to see. And then Carlos comes right back in his first game since, and he jumps ship twice. Twice. You might hate that guy. In fact, a lot of people do hate that guy and hate that team and everybody in that clubhouse. But in terms of this guy, you got to respect that he continues to cash monster checks that his gap has been scratching out. Astros 10, A's 5. They're going to run it back in a couple hours after I get off the air today. So people are already branding that the good v. evil series. Just about everybody loves the A's, and even more people cannot stand the Astros. But it's pretty clear, in fact, crystal clear, the Astros don't give a damn, do they? They don't care. They're leaning into it, and they won round one of that fight yesterday. Speaking of evil, here comes the Empire. The evil Empire. Don't look now, but the Yankees are peaking at the exact right moment. Had to have last night, right? If Gerrit Cole is starting, you have to win. You have to win. Good news for Bomber fans. Terrible news for the Rays. Bombers peaking at the right time, and they can mash, yo. They can mash. Yesterday, Tampa got a double dose of Judge and Stanton. And Gerrit Cole put on a grit clinic. You know, the very best in the game can do this. When they do not have their best stuff, they find a way to get it done. They find a way to get it done. Cole did not have his best stuff yesterday. In the fifth, he put himself in a two-out, bases-loaded jam, one-run game. Yankees holding on to a one-run lead. Cole was looking shaky, but when he needed it most, he reached back for some of that triple-digit filth. And a get-out-of-jail card.
Here it comes. It's a fastball at 100. He strikes him out. Gerrit Cole just kept climbing the ladder. Got the first two outs quickly, then had some trouble. Gets a punch out to end the fifth. Yankees still in the lead in San Diego.
That's why you back up the Brinks truck for that guy. For moments like that. A moment that was not lost on Cole himself after the game.
It's fun. Big pitch, big moment. Executed it perfectly. Glad, because I really got myself into a bit of a mess there.
He did, but he got himself out of it. And the Rays never did threaten again. And even if they did, it was not going to matter, because in the top of the ninth, when it was still kind of a game, the pride of the 8-1-8 put this game on ice.
Loaded up with one out for Giancarlo Stanton. Curtis deals. Stanton in the air, center field, deep. On the run, Kiermaier running out of room, and she's gone! It's a grand slam for Giancarlo Stanton! A game-breaker for Stanton and the Yankees!
Man, what a moment. And that guy obviously was built for moments like that. Salami dong. Thanks for coming. See you tomorrow. You think the Yankees are happy to have Judge and Stanton back right about now? 8-1-8. 8-1-8 for life. Stanton is from Sherman Oaks. Fun fact, trivia question. Where did yours truly play Little League Baseball growing up? Where is Stanton from? Sherman Oaks. Where did yours truly play Little League Baseball? You know it. Sherman Oaks Little League. How I didn't make it to the show is anybody's guess. He probably did not play in that Little League. I did, though. You know how many great, great baseball players came through Sherman Oaks Little League? I don't know. That's just where I played. Right off Ventura Boulevard. Had that movie theater down there. Had that big donut store down there. That's when I lived on the west side, yo, before I moved out to the valley.
Donuts.
8-1-8. My man's a problem. Stanton. Tampa Bay, or I should say the Rays, beat the Yankees 8 out of 10 this year. And look like 8 out of 10. It's a good thing, too, because now they've got to win 3 out of 4, or they're headed back to St. Pete. a lot earlier than they want. I'm not going to write off either the A's or the Rays, but they each had leads in yesterday's game, and they could not hold them. And now they're each facing a 1-0 hole in a best of five. And they're going up against a couple of teams that have been there and done that, and a couple of teams who feed off how much the rest of the world hates them. The Yankees, I don't think, really necessarily tap into that hate, but the Astros sure as hell do. They run on that hate. So again, just day two. But day two got ratcheted up for the budget teams of the American League. There is no such thing as a must-win game necessarily in that series, early series like that, but you might make the argument that they are must-win games. About as close as it gets for Oakland and Tampa. All right, so talking some baseball too. Where do you come out? Stanton, mashing. 1-800-636-8686. Mashers. Why don't we stay on topic, in market, and go to New York? So far, so good after that beatdown. Woody, right to the front of the line. How you feeling after last night, Woody?
Oh, walking on air, Jimmy, but there's work to be done. I tell you, I had to snicker yesterday when the caller from Tampa Bay tried to take you to task. Memo to first-time caller, don't ever go at the host whose motto is, more of me and less of you makes for a better show. Now, my Yankees got past the Cleveland Indians and the Jungle Karma last week, a Herculean task in itself. I remember about a month ago when you were mocking a Yankee player for wanting to see the Rays again. Well, here we are, and it's the Rays again. Law of averages says the Yankees are due to beat the Rays, and you know how baseball loves the numbers. Combine that with a full, healthy Death Star lineup, which includes, dare I say, a locked-in Stanton, a Torres who has returned to last year's form, Gio Urshela, I don't know whether his offense is better than his defense or his defense is better than his offense. Throw in the other half of the glass towers and almost locked in Aaron Judge, the machine, when is he not locked in, and always dangerous Luke Voit, and Hicks is actually joining the party. And wow, what's this? Clint Frazier cracks the lineup and comes in and just mashes. I like our chances. We've got the youngster on the mound tonight. The Rays have yet to see him pitch. The kid is fearless. I like what I see. Yankees in four. War Yankees getting that next elusive chip out.
Go ahead and rack him. My man Woody on his Yankees. Feeling good about what he sees. Yeah, it's true. I did say. They had beaten them 8 out of 10 times. And the Yankees are saying, good. Good. We want these guys. We want to see these guys. No names mentioned. Brett Gardner. And then they show up last night, mashing. Mashing. You know, when Gerrit Cole was not at his best, I'm watching that game thinking to myself, man, this is it. I'm not saying this is the series, but I'm saying this is a major, major opportunity for the Rays. Man, you got to get this guy. The Yankees have to win with their ace. Have to. And he's not on his best game. He doesn't have his A stuff. But again, if you're Cole and you're a big game guy like that, you'll find a way to get it done. And he did. And you do what you do. You keep them in it. You give them a slight lead. And then you wait for your bats to do what they do. And then they did. And then you have yourself a beatdown. The moment that everybody's been waiting for since the announcement yesterday. Bill O'Brien fired four games in. Fired his GM, fired his head coach, fired his play caller, fired Gonzo. Hit the bricks. The moment y'all have been waiting for. Not Bill O'Brien's response, but Jerome's response. Let's go to Houston. Jerome. What's going on, Jerome? How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Thanks for the vine. Appreciate the time. I tell you, this thing was so toxic, it had to happen. And when we got the news, me and my buds, it was a total shock and then smiles and high fives all around. This day has been needed to come, and I believe it's the very first step to wherever it takes us next, and I hope that takes us where we can turn this thing around. I'm glad Romeo Crennel is stepping in. I think he's a good man to fill in as an interim. I'll tell you, this whole thing, the Texans, it was toxic in the locker room. It was toxic with the media. He's a pure a-hole and horse's ass. And when you treat everyone like crap, you're going to end up on the scrap heap. And I'm so glad it happened. So happy for that. Hopefully better days are on the way. Thanks for the Vine. War Astros pissing off the whole world. I'm out.
All right, Jerome, thank you very much. You notice the thing that struck me about that phone call, he said, you know, me and my buds, we were shocked. Me and my friends. When we got that news, we couldn't believe it. Me and my boys. Me and my buds. Me and my friends. And it got me to thinking, who are Jerome's friends? Who's his crew? Who is he rolling with? Who is he hanging out with? I don't know. But if I had to guess, I would say Jerome's buds, his crew, his friends are probably Jack, Jim, Johnny, Captain Morgan, Jose, Hanny. I don't know. Probably a lady clone in there too, right? Mary Jane.
War Lady Clone.
Just kidding, Jerome. Not really. My man, he sounded to me, well, one, dry. Two, little bit rattled. My man, stay in the fight. Do not let that shake your confidence or your swagger. I know you had kind of a tough run. I don't know that dry Jerome is better than wet Slurome. Maybe there is a middle ground in there. Miss Stella. Heinrich Kin. All right, he's happy about it. Any other Texans fans want to weigh in on this? We knew the guy was going to get fired. As close as he was, and I'm not sure why Cal McNair. I mean, obviously Cal McNair didn't want to give up on that choice. Like, I got this. Daddy's gone. It's now my team. I'm calling the shots. I know what I'm doing. Well, not really. So it was not a question of if, but a matter of when. But did it really feel like when was coming after that 0-4 start? In all honesty, I didn't think so because of the close relationship between the two of them. But it goes to show, obviously, it was not just a matter of O'Brien and McNair. It was O'Brien and that team. He had lost that team. Clearly, he had lost the team. And it's not just that they were losing games. It's how they were losing games. And we already know that he's a terrible GM and should have never had that responsibility in the first place. All right. Still ahead. PJ Fleck. I want to talk about last night, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Aaron Rodgers rolls out there throwing the ball to guys you've never heard of, and it just didn't matter. It almost doesn't matter who they put alongside him. He's going to find a way to get it done. And look great again last night. I want to hit that. I do want to talk about the Pats. You know, if anybody other than Hoyer, the Destroyer, had played quarterback last night, the Pats win that game. Probably. And isn't that why you have a guy like that in there? Because he won't make the mistakes that he was making last night, and yet did anyway. And what's that say about Stiddy that he couldn't beat that guy out? All of that is still ahead, and I've got thoughts on the Cowboys and how bad they are, especially defensively, and the fact that one of their star defensive players is saying, man, get the hell off my Instagram feed. All of that's coming up, and your phone call. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So the Chiefs look like a totally different team last night, right? Than they did the previous Monday night against the Ravens. So where does that leave us for the coming weekend? Sunday, NFL and CBS doubleheader showcases some of the most exciting young quarterbacks in the game, including an AFC Western showdown between the Raiders and the Chiefs. You've got Cincinnati and Baltimore, Burrow and Jackson. Later on, an NFC Eastern clash between the Giants and the Cowboys. It all begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. A couple of quick pieces of reaction for you. At Big Dipper, 215 makes it in. Bill O'Brien should have quit and gone into politics. Signed, Tommy Tuberville.
Quitter is how he quits.
All right, so Bill O'Brien didn't quit. He got fired. Tuberville, according to his opponent, is a quitter. And not just a quitter, but how he quits.
Fear the thumb, remember the quitter.
I mentioned this yesterday in the last segment of the program. I said this is not a political show. I'm not going to give you my political takes. I do not support either of the candidates. I didn't even mention their affiliation. Party affiliation. I just mentioned the radio spot because it involved a big-time college coach or a former big-time college coach. What a line that is to end that. Remember the thumb or fear the thumb, remember the quitter?
Fear the thumb, remember the quitter.
In other words, the guy had quit in four other high-profile situations. So fear the fifth, fear the thumb, remember the quitter.
Fear the thumb, remember the quitter.
Politics is an extremely dirty game. Political campaigns are extremely dirty. Political ads are even dirtier. But fear the thumb, remember the quitter?
He told Cincinnati students to go to hell.
Hey, go to hell. Get a job.
They ran that back twice. And as I mentioned yesterday, that's quite a line. Hey, students, go to hell. Get a job. How does that work?
Hey, go to hell. Get a job.
In that order, wouldn't it make sense to kind of flip that around? Hey, get a job and go to hell.
Go to hell.
I didn't know hell was hiring. I mean, do you show up at hell with your resume? Put your tie on, you wake up early in the morning, get yourself a nice bowl of oatmeal, put on your best tie, got a good night of sleep, didn't drink the night before, did your prep, show up in the waiting room, four other people are there, you already went on ZipRecruiter, promo code Rome, you're Googling hell, are they hiring? What kind of opportunities can I find there? Go to hell, get a job? Yeah, right, coach. We're here in college to get a job. That's pretty much why we all went to college, to get jobs. Anyway, I said about Tommy, you know, I'm about equal time. So if you want to respond to that or you have a radio spot that responds to that spot, I will play that as well. But then again, I'm not sure how you respond to that. How do you respond to that? By walking down the road with that thumb out, hitching a ride.
Fear the thumb.
As far away as possible. Fear the thumb, remember the quitter.
Fear the thumb, remember the quitter.
Well, Dougie. Dougie's saying he's going to quit again. All right? Dougie's intimating he's not going to win, but if he does, he'll quit because that's what he does.
Quitter is how he quits.
That's what that guy's referring to. The Big Dipper 215. Dear Rome, we were waiting for Woody to brag about his 27 Yankee titles, even though he's only been alive for like five of them. Regards, Laker fans. Francis in Glendale. Here's the thing, Francis. The reason Woody gets on the air is because Woody knows what he's talking about. Woody has good takes. Woody has informed takes. Woody has good energy. Woody is bringing the conversation up. He's not bringing the host down. That's why Woody is welcome to call the program. Loves his Yankees. Knows his team. And can refer back to things that have been said on the show previously and then respond to it. Can you, Francis? Can you make it better? Aaron Rodgers showed up again last night. And I need time to lay this out, but just something to think about as we go to break. It's not that long ago that everybody was talking about, Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, these guys are not on the same page. In fact, it looks like Aaron does not like the coach at all. And it looks like the coach doesn't give a damn what Aaron thinks. Oh, and what do you know? To back that up, not only did they not take a wide receiver with that first pick, they moved up and they took his replacement. Man, this thing is coming off the rails. Yeah, either that or they're getting along beautifully, completely in sync, and have never looked better. My thoughts on that when we come back. PJ Fleck is coming up in hour number 3. All right, can you make it better? I want to talk about Paul Rudd for a minute, too. He did the impossible. He took two things that we hate more than anything else, put them together into the same thing, and made it awesome. Like, he did the impossible. I've got thoughts on that, too, coming up. So a lot to get to. We're only halfway through it. First up, though, here's a sports update. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they are focused on you. They're ready to offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. You want to call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. You want to do that. All right, coming up again next hour, I've got PJ Fleck, the head football coach at Minnesota. That's not till 20 past hour number 3, so plenty of time between now and then. All right, so in the nightcap, there was a doubleheader yesterday. We talked already about the Patriots and the Chiefs. I haven't given you my full thought on that, my full take on that, but we did talk about that. Then you've got the nightcap. You had a doubleheader last night, and you had the Packers doing to the Atlanta Falcons exactly what you would expect the Packers to do to the Atlanta Falcons, right? It didn't matter that the Packers were missing their two top receivers. Aaron Rodgers is still going to do what he's going to do, namely go to work. Now, before I get into all the highlights, I do want to go back to something else. Remember all that noise from last year about Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur not being on the same page? Remember that? Do you remember all that talk about that tension between the two of them and how much worse it was going to get after LaFleur and the organization moved up and selected Rodgers' replacement? Remember all that noise that Aaron Rodgers must really hate his coach and that his coach must really be looking to run off his allegedly aged out quarterback. Do you remember all that talk? It was not that long ago. Do you remember all that? All right. And do you remember Aaron Rodgers appearing on this program last week and talking about the chemistry between he and the coach that he's supposed to hate that much?
That's a good question, Jim. I think what it really is the anticipation. You really start to anticipate what calls are coming based on kind of the rhythm that you've been in. That's a fun place to be, where you're hoping almost for certain calls, and you hear them come in through your helmet. There are not any calls that come in that you kind of stop you or make you think, huh, I wonder why we're calling this. It was just a beautiful rhythm. It's been great. You know, it starts with communication. You know, we spend a lot of time together in the offseason talking about ball, whether it's installs or philosophy or what we did last year, what we want to build on, what we'd like to get to, and it's been a really, really good start for us offensively.
Sounds to me like that guy's in a great spot, and that was before last night's game. So they're on a roll, and that roll continued last night against Atlanta. Like, it doesn't matter if the Packers don't draft receivers in the first round. It doesn't matter if Green Bay is missing their top two wideouts. Aaron Rodgers is still going to find a way to beat your ass. His four receivers last night were Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Malik Taylor, Darius Shepard, and Reggie Begelton. MVS was the only one of the group with a reception this season. The other three had one career reception among them. So did Aaron Rodgers sweat that? Did it look like he was gripping over that? No. He did what he does. 27 to 33, 327 yards, four touchdowns. 19 of 19 when going to running backs and tight ends. Here was Aaron Rodgers going to Aaron Jones.
Rodgers gets the shotgun snap, cocks his right arm, gentle pass, goal line, backpedaling catch, touchdown. It's caught by the running back Jones, uncovered on the play, on the goal line, caught it, belt high, backpedaling in for six on a six-yard touchdown pass.
Westwood won. You might never see a more wide-open target inside the 10-yard line than Jones was on that play. Without fans in the stands, that didn't even look like an NFL game. That looked like a walkthrough. That looked like two guys playing catch on the field at Lambeau during stretching before a game with nobody defending anybody. And speaking of two guys playing catch, nobody in Falcons gear seemed to be all that interested in busting in on that game of catch between Rodgers and Robert Tonyan. Here was Aaron Rodgers to Robert Tonyan.
Rodgers in the gun. Here's a four-man rush. He sets and throws a line drive down the middle, leaping two-hand catch for the tight end of the goal line. He's in for the touchdown! Robert Tonyan, what a catch! Defenders draped on both shoulders of the goal line. A club leaping two-handed catch above that gold Green Bay helmet. 19-yard strike.
Once again, low perspective. Robert Tonyan came into last night's game with 14 career receptions. Two touchdowns, not exactly matching his buddy George Kittle, right? But last night, the guy did a great Kittle impression. If one Tonyan touchdown's good, two is even better. Here's Aaron Rodgers to Robert Tonyan once again.
Green Bay first and goal of the eight. Shotgun, snap to Rodgers, line drive throw, diving catch, goal line, touchdown, Tonyan! Down the middle it went. Line drive, a laser thrown by Aaron Rodgers.
Look, the Atlanta Falcons are not 0-4. Only because of injuries. But it sure as hell is not helping, right? I'm not sure I've ever seen a secondary so wrecked by injuries. They look like they had backup running backs in their secondary last night. Or guys who had never played football before last night. And the worst place on the planet is being a young guy in the secondary when Aaron Rodgers is cooking. And when he's serving up TDs to Robert Tonyan. Stop me if you've heard this, but Aaron Rodgers found Robert Tonyan in the end zone again.
Third and three, back to pass goes Rodgers. Backpedaling, throws an arching pass down the middle. Wide open the tight end! It's a touchdown! At the goal line, Tonyan, his third of the night! Rodgers has thrown another TD! Rodgers, four touchdown passes tonight, and he looks down at his right hand, and he's counting them. One, two, four touchdowns by Rodgers.
Robert Tonyan completing the hat trick. Bobby T had three TDs last night. So from more perspective, the New York Giants have three touchdowns this season. Robert Tonyan, who you never heard of, had three last night. The Giants have three for this season, which is awesome. Both parts of that. Bob T killing the game and the New York Giants killing the sport. Three touchdowns in a single night is huge. But Tonyan made it sound like it was actually pretty easy.
I just had to continue to do what I've been doing and just keep playing well and stick to the game plan. And like I said before, just when plays come to me, I got to make them. And, you know, Aaron had a nice little look in his eye tonight, so I just was trying to roll with that.
I don't know. Maybe it is that easy. Maybe it really is that easy when you play with Aaron Rodgers. He certainly makes it seem like it's that easy. About the only difficulty Green Bay had with Atlanta's defense was when Rodgers took that awkward fall on that sack.
Rodgers tried to escape, not that time. Awkward. Really slipped up more than he was sacked, but awkward. Charles Harris will take credit for awkward. That all the way back to the 45.
Even that was something for Aaron to laugh at after the game. He said to Lisa Salters it was a little awkward and a little embarrassing.
Yeah, I think it was more embarrassment than injury. My ankle kind of, or knee, something kind of hyperextended maybe a little bit, but I'm all right.
Yeah, that embarrassment and the fact that the Packers have a bye this week and they have to stay in Green Bay, which is, Aaron said, quote, sucks, really are the only blemishes that the Packers offense have had four games into a season that could not have been any weirder in the offseason. That's got to be tough, right? I mean, the pandemic is tough. They're undefeated. They're in their bye week, and they can't leave Green Bay. I'm not here to crack on Green Bay. I'm a Wisconsin resident. But you can imagine where they'd love to find a beach, love to bust out, but they can't. got to stay there. Daily COVID testing. And in the meantime, four games in, Aaron Rodgers has already thrown for more than 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns, zero INTs. This is a guy who could have come to camp bitter because of how the front office jammed him twice in the draft. First, by not taking a wide receiver. Secondly, by moving up and taking his heir apparent, allegedly. I mean, so many guys in that position would be raging and wouldn't let it go. But as he and I talked about last week, Aaron is not about that. Aaron is not letting that bother him. Aaron is not running on that kind of fuel. And contrary to what so many people think, he's just not about that life.
Well, I think a lot of that is the refusal to be victimized. You know, the refusal to think that something was done to me or to be bitter about things. A lot of those feelings come from insecurities. So it was dealing with those insecurities head on, you know, in the beginning and sitting with my feelings and what I was going through and then getting to a place of peace about the whole situation. And I think with the peace comes the security that I feel confident in what I've accomplished. I understand what this game has done for me. I don't have bitterness towards the organization or towards anybody making decisions. I understand what it is, and I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm not going to be a victim because of it. You know, I'm going to control my attitude and try and be as positive as possible and just be thankful that we're here, we're playing. You know, I get to go to work with some of my best friends in life, and I get to compete. This is what I always wanted to do when I was a kid, and instead of focusing on, oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to finish as a Packer or, you know, they drafted, you know, a replacement. Like, who cares? That only affects me if I allow it to affect me. And I'm just focused on the gratitude I have for being able to play a long career, to still be healthy, to still do what I love, and that it's allowed me to just stay present and be super excited about being back at work, being back with the guys, and doing what I love.
I got to tell you something. When he said that to me live last week, I was blown away by that. I thought that was an amazing thing to say. I thought that was an amazing piece of that conversation. The whole conversation was great, but I was blown away when he said what he said, where I just played for you. Hearing that in playback is even better a second time. I would play that a third time and get even more out of it. This guy's headspace, like, he is in such a good place, and I don't think that's BS either. I think that that's legit. I think that's authentic. I think he believes that. I don't think that's a case whereby he said that for us, for me, for you, hung up the phone, and then was running on that hate, man, running on that fuel. Screw them. Screw it. I got something for you. I think this guy's done some real work. I think this guy's done some real soul searching. I think this guy's done that thing where he has spent a lot of time with himself in his own head, thinking it through, thinking about it. And part of the evolution. You know, we all grow. We all change. We all mature. I think there's a lot of that. I mean, that to me is the epitome of leading from the front. And I mean, if I had a dime for every time I heard an athlete say, I only control what I can control, I'd be really freaking rich. But I think that guy, Aaron Rodgers, right there, just did the best job of explaining that whole thing. Like, he's not caught up in it. And not only is he not caught up in it, man, he's grateful. There's gratitude in that. Like, I'm playing the game that I love. I'm playing it with people that I really am fond of, people I want to go to battle with, people I want to work with. I'm playing it with a head coach that I am in sync with. Not a head coach who's trying to run me off, but a head coach who's taking advantage of what I do best. And then a couple of wide receivers go down. He doesn't freak out. He looks at who he has. He takes advantage of that. Importantly, looks at who he's playing and torches the Falcons. And they're 4-0. And it was not supposed to be like that, right? The narrative was, man, they got close last year. Damn, that was a good football team and had a good look at it. The window is still open. He's still playing at a high level. Just get this guy a wide receiver. Get this guy a weapon. Get this guy a target. Oh, they didn't do that. Oh, they moved up and drafted a quarterback. Oh, hell, this thing's coming off the rails now. Watch this. And that's not what happened. Credit to the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers looks awesome. This. And he's never sounded better. And playing at a really high level still yet. Something that Jonathan Jones said, going back to Tom Brady, too. Brady looks good. Brady can still sling it. Brady still has that arm strength. Jonathan Jones said earlier today, I would not say that about Drew Brees. I would kind of echo that. Brees played up when he had to late Sunday. But I would say that if I'm looking at the two of those guys right now, Brady does look better. All right, when we come back, we will start hour number three in that third hour. You know what? I want to talk Cowboy football. Let's talk Cowboy football. Let's talk about why they're as bad as they are right now. Let's talk about Mike McCarthy. Like, wasn't he going to help that defense or bring somebody in who could help that defense? How is that defense with that talent as bad as they are right now, as porous as they are right now? Let's talk some Cowboy football when we come back. After that, PJ Fleck always brings the energy. We'll have him at 20 past. And if you're on hold, stay there. I do want your phone calls. Third hour coming up in Southern California. I am Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. Do not go anywhere.